Accession number 9431, Reel 4.
Mr. Grunwell, Reel 4. Can you tell me about the visit of the doctors from Bristol and how you perhaps felt about their visit?
Well, one didn't like the thought of the doctor coming down and disturbing the pleasure we was having there.
Yes, you mentioned earlier on in the interview that it was a great thing to be back in England. Can you explain what you meant by that?
To be away from the dirt and the state of one's body, the filth, the lice, and also, above all, to be away from the firing line. Back to civilization.
Do you think the war had had some impact upon you by that time?
As a young man, we just took everything as it came. Wasn't disturbed one way or another.
Can you tell me what decisions the doctors came over your state of health?
Well, he must have thought I was... You're speaking now at Rouen or at Bristol?
At Bristol.
At Bristol, he must have felt that I was well enough to follow just the normal course of life. Seeing my wound was just a physical one in the wrist. I wasn't troubled as regards any heart or chest or anything of that.
And so what did they do with you then?
Well, we was marked fit and we went back to hospital, to Bristol, and from there we had the leave, and then after that, report for service.
Can you tell me a little bit about your leave?
Well, I forget it, so long ago now. I mean, it was nice to be back at home. That was the big thing about it. But of course, the war was still going on and things was... Everything was on a war footing, so to speak. So...
How many weeks did you get for leave?
As far as I remember, probably a fortnight's holiday. Fortnight's leave. That was the usual, I think, in the army. Fortnight's leave.
Do you think that the civilians were aware of what conditions were like on the Western Front by this time?
No. No, you must... You've got to be on the spot to realise what things was like. And especially when the winter came, when a lot of the trenches was absolutely, well, not waterlogged, but absolutely damp. And also sludge and that. You can well understand that people over here couldn't. No idea in that sense. Only from what they was told by people like myself, what had been there.
Have the casualties at the Somme had any impact on Bradford by this stage?
Must have had. I can't say, but it must have had, because there must have been lots of parents lose their sons and wives lose their husbands. When you come to think of a loss, tragic.
Do you recall any instances where families perhaps that you knew had lost?
No, I can't remember. As I say, that you was more or less taken up with what was happening to yourself. The young men what lived near me, they all came through. So, as I say, there was there's nothing in the thought of sorrow with these lads what I knew so well.
When you left Bradford, where did you go to next?
After I came from hospital.
When your leave had finished?
Up to Camboys camp.
Which is where?
Northumberland.
Can you remember, roughly speaking, when that would be?
Somewhere the back end of August or start or in September.
How long were you to stay at that camp for?
Well, the only thing, that card I've shown you, puts me back into France in December. So, 2 months at most, I should say.
What did you do whilst you were at that camp?
What did we do? We're supposed to start training all over again, which was ludicrous.
Did you feel it was ludicrous at the time?
Oh, absolutely. To think that you'd started saluting in your early days and you'd walk around starting saluting again. It's absolutely stupid.
When you say you started saluting in your early days and now you have to start saluting again, how had that changed whilst you were out in France? Did you not have to salute officers every time you saw them?
Oh, yes. You had to salute the officer, definitely. But to think that you'd already gone through training as regards saluting superior officers, and all that time, which would be two years in the army and starting again, same as if you was a raw recruit. Out of it.
By September then you were, I beg your pardon, by December you were on your way back to France. Can you remember being posted? To which unit?
Have you knocked it off? No. I'm sorry. As far as I understood, we were sent to Etaps.
And what happened at Etaps?
Well, as far as I understood, it was probably sounded as to what regiment we'd belong, and from there, up we went, joined this regiment one had belonged previously.
So you returned to the 1st Bradford Pals?
1st Bradford Pals.
Which part of the line were the 1st Bradford Pals stationed in?
As far as I know, it was somewhere about Harris.
And can you tell me something about what the situation was in the front line at Arras? Well, perhaps you could start off by just, if you can remember, telling me what the terrain was like, what the area was like to look at.
Oh, well, Somme was a fairly nice area of France, countries, and so on. But we was at a place, particularly in the winter months, round a place called Habberton, which was again not very far from where we'd been before the July offensive. And at Haverton, we was there just holding the line, more or less output. And I remember the sludge we had to trudge through. We was given these, well, they wasn't, they was called something different from Wellingtons. They came more or less well up your thighs, really.
Waders.
Gum boots. Ah. And of course you was just going about among the sludge and the absolutely sludgy roads, trudging along in conditions so. Well, bad, very bad. Later on, we was in part of the line forward, as far as I remember, forward from Arras. That was when the weather was getting better. It was drier weather. It was springtime, and it was much pleasanter.
Hmm. Perhaps we could just stay at Haverton for a moment and look at what conditions were like in the trenches. You've mentioned that they were often flooded.
That was at Haverton. Well, it was just, you can understand if you, the ground, I mean, there was, I can't just remember the snow, but there was plenty of wet there. The old condition was absolutely sodden.
How long would you have to stay in a trench that was as badly flooded as these were?
Well, as far as I remember, if it was in 3 weeks or a month. Mind you, in some places it wasn't trench, it was more outposts. It wasn't same as on the Somme where there'd absolutely been a lot of work put into them with duckboard and this, that and the other. These wasn't in the same, didn't seem in the same conditions at all. Of course, with it being winter time, I mean, the rain could make an absolutely effect on the trenches, cause perhaps falls of earth and so on. But
were they far less? Were they not as deep as the ones that you've been in previously?
Well, that I don't remember, really.
Did they have duckboards?
Don't remember any duckboards. There must have been something. I mean, after all said and done, you can just simply... But there again, on one occasion, we'd worry about 60 of our men what had been killed in action. We'd have put them in one trench, and all it was just a simply big trench full of miry clay, so to speak, and there we put them. And I don't know whether some of us was down in the trench, but I know this, that we'd an officer there, what was an elderly man. Well, I'm saying elderly man, he was middle-aged. And he couldn't get out, we had to haul him out, really. He was there, in the clay, lifting up one foot and then another. And, of course, as one came up, the other came down. But we got him out, really. I think they call him Buchanan. But, of course, on that occasion, it was a case of getting away as quick as possible before we was also casualties and down in the same trench. But it wasn't. It was just simply same as a trench you'd dig to lay a cable or something like that.
Were you burying those bodies in a disused trench, or was it the hole specially dug for them?
Well, no, it wasn't specially dug. The trench must have been used at some time or other. It was unknown to us. This was one of the jobs we got when we wasn't more or less on sentry duty.
Can you recall any ways in which the trenches were drained?
No. I suppose there was no time to start draining trenches. I mean, there wasn't permanent.
You mentioned an issue of gumboots. Was there any other clothing that was issued to you to keep you warm or drier?
Those leather coat jerkins was issued. But otherwise, you just soldiered on and experienced the worst and hoping for the best.
Whilst you were at this front, were you involved in any sort of action?
No. No. Not at Eberton, where we was for some time.
Can you remember how long you stayed at Eberton for?
Well, it must have been just the winter months.
And where did you move to from there?
Well, as far as I know, we moved to Harris, that was more to the right of the position we was in. Rather think it was.
Can you remember when you actually moved to Arras?
Well, it must have been, probably April or May.
And that would be 1917?
1917.
What were the trenches like at Arras?
Hard as I remember that the weather was dry, it was pleasant, it was springtime, and the trenches wasn't in the same condition as the ones we'd experienced previously to July 1st. They was just trenches, as you might say, with no elaborate duckboards about them, but just suitable for trench warfare.
So they had not been there for a long time. They weren't a complete system.
Well, as far as I remember, Vimy Ridge was a place notable for Canadian offensive, which they lost hundreds of men, as far as I remember. And this position we was in was evidently near there. As far as I know, it was forward from Arras.
Was there a great deal of evidence of fighting on the terrain surrounding you?
No. No.
Can you actually describe what the terrain was? Was it flat or was it hilly at that point?
Mostly flat.
Were the German trenches a long way or fairly close to you?
I can't remember. One thing about it, they wouldn't be very far away.
Was there any fighting there when you were there?
None.
So it was what you would call a quiet sector?
Quiet sector while we was there. Well, I was there anyway.
What sort of warfare did go on while you were there? Were there things like mortars?
Well, you're speaking about weapons now? Well, of course, there was these trench mortar batteries. And then behind, if the army was in good order, behind there was also some other kind of mortar batteries of a different section altogether from the infantry in a reserve line which would send their missiles bigger range, you see. As regards also missiles or bombs. The Mills bomb was one of the handy little bombs which you could take in your hand, the size of a lemon, had a lever on. You took the lever and threw it over. Perhaps if you threw it 30 yards, well, it was a good throw, but it was used for just near combat, so to speak.
Did you ever use them in combat?
The thing was that there was special men singled out as bombers. Some were singled out for machine gunners, and there we are. I belonged to one of the machine gunners party, so I had nothing to do with the bombs, but there was quite an handy thing for battle, I suppose.
When had you been attached to a machine gun party?
July 1st. You had the two men, you had the two men what had the gun, and then you had other people with the stuff. I more or less carried the, those days, in the Lewis gun, which was a machine gun, you had a kind of a round plate which you placed on the gun on a pivot, and then off you pull the trigger. Fired about 50, I suppose it must be in a 50 a second, I don't know. But it was terrific, really.
How many rounds of ammunition would be in a drum?
50. It'd be same as your recorder, yeah. It'd be round in no time.
And how many of those pans did you have to cart around with you when you were with the team?
I don't know, but I should say half a dozen at least.
Were they awkward things to cart around? Were they heavy?
Not too bad, really. I mean, naturally, in, well, as I say, those days you, there wasn't.
Can you tell me how the machine gun was used when you were in the front line?
It was on a pivot, and of course, I suppose it would be mounted on the top of the trench, and any Germans coming to your side, you'd just simply pull the trigger, mow them down.
Was there any arrangements for firing at night?
Well, I suppose, no, that would be indiscriminate, really. I mean, the attacks wasn't made at night, as far as I remember. I don't remember one attack occurring during the night. It was during the day, which, of course, is obvious. You saw your target, and you operated.
Were you in any action at all on the Arras sector?
No.
And how long were you stationed there?
Well, I was rather fortunate. One day, I was summoned to headquarters, and I thought at first, "What is it? Court martial?" And I was told to back up all my kit, and I was sent down to a rest camp at a place called Andelchus, which is about 8 miles from Boulogne, north of Boulogne.
Why did you think it was a court-martial, or were you just joking?
Well, when we was at Everton, an old soldier, a regular soldier and high, because we was hungry, we left our post to go into Everton village. Well, it wasn't, there was no village, and get some rations. And we managed that, and on returning, the army was on the move. And we'd an officer what was a boar, and he was rather a dead. He was one of these fellows what was any little misdemeanor, and he was on you. And we were out. We felt sure when we were here we should be on a crime sheet. Fortunately, we just got back with our unit and everything passed off. That was the reason.
So he didn't catch you?
So we might have got shot for desertion of the post.
Bearing in mind that you were taking that risk, was it because your rations had not arrived that day that you left the post?
No. We was hungry. We was ready to have a go and get some further food to eat.
So you'd had your rations, but you were still hungry?
Far as I remember, yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, when you think of all we was rationed was biscuits, a few biscuits, and a tin of bully beef and jam.
Would you say that state of hunger was frequent when you were in the front line?
Oh, yes, but you've got to carry on.
Where did you get the extra food from when you went out of the line to?
The only thing about it was whether this old soldier knew the cook or the person seemed to me as if there was something of that in it. Which, of course, if you knew somebody what was in a position like that, what had to do with the food, you might easily get something passed to you.
Is that what you did on that occasion?
Well, as far as I remember, there was something of that in it, really. You see, at the same place, when we used to come away from either being on duty, the post of duty or working parties. At Heberton there was a kind of a place where you could be served up with a tin of hot soup, which was another thing what meant a lot, same with the rum ration. Something hot to drink. So as I say, at Heberton there was evidently